This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the New Media Production Studio. In tonight's stories, Google goes nuclear against Roku, the American broadband problem. We're going to talk about 96% of iPhone users, how they've opted out of tracking, but there's kind of a little catch to that. Homeland Security and how they're monitoring social media. Lots more stories, of course, but I want to welcome you to episode 1527 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, May 10th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. And of course, you can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider by becoming an insider. We want to welcome all new listeners to the show. Thank you for being here. Make sure you get over to GeekNewsCentral.com. Check out all the website. When you're on the website, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. You'll be able to do that in the right-hand column of the website. You can also join our newsletter. Newsletter link is on there. And if you so feel inclined, you can join our chat room at geeknews.chat or our Discord channel, which is found within the show notes of this podcast. And today, we're also streaming the show to Clubhouse. You can always contact me via email. That's really the best way to reach out with me to me if you have a comment about the podcast. The email is geeknews@gmail.com, and my Twitter address is @geeknews. I think you're following the play here. Of course, partner shows are all linked at geeknewscentral.com. Check those out, whether it be the New Media Show, whether it be the Pro Gear Guru site, the Gadget Professor podcast, Podcast Legends, or GNC Week in Review. Those are all great places to go and check out other content written by my team and created by our podcast team members. So definitely check that out at geeknewscentral.com. Of course, you can follow me on Facebook as well. But more importantly, this show is sponsored by the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast, and that's the folks at GoDaddy. You can save big, really, by going to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And when you're on the website, lock in savings, whether it be a 30% off on a new product purchase, $499.com or newer transfer domains for a new customer. That's a one-time promo code. Or a dollar a month economy hosting for the first year for, yes, a dollar a month economy hosting for the first year with a free domain. And or a dollar a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. So you got everything you need to get going, get started a podcast, start doing a blog, start setting up something for your family, setting up a pandemic-proof business. You just never know what's going to happen in the future, and you can take this time and get the best deal in the whole world when it comes to a web hosting deal and lock in one of those two economy or managed WordPress hosting deals for a dollar a month or 12 bucks for your first year. Of course, you can do the free trial of GoDaddy website builder. That's a 30-day free trial, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. That's always an option as well. And remember, Geek News Central listeners save an average of 94% of their purchase of GoDaddy hosting accounts and average of $3.50 on each GoDaddy domain name. All these codes are verified weekly. And again, going to save you big money. So support the team, support the writers. And really, that's what you're doing. You're supporting what I do here, allowing me to have the resources to pay the insurance, electricity bill, rent, everything that goes along with doing the show in the studio. So definitely want to thank you all for your ongoing support of GoDaddy. And of course, the studio designs by Audimute.com. For those of you that are listening today, you can check this show out at live.geeknewscentral.com. Check that out. Sound conditioned by that team. So let me catch you real quick up what happened since the last show. I had a Diane, my daughter, which I told you about, worked on her place. Had some issues in the bathroom, and we cut some bad OSB out, put some new, well, we had, my brother-in-law had OSB, and some left over from when my sister built her house, so we needed some patchwork done on some OSB that had gotten some water damage, got that all done, and hopefully here in the next week, we'll be able to get a new floor down in her bathroom, just kind of helping out where we can. But nothing special on Mother's Day. It rained here, but I did take some time to scope out the future camping site that I'm going to be building. And hopefully that project gets off the ground here in the next couple of weeks. Of course, with the trip out to Honolulu for my son's graduation, which goes down the middle of next week, It's going to be interesting to see if I can be able to get anything done. And also, there's a few trees that are scheduled to be logged. Hopefully, they won't come into the fall to cut those. Because right around the camp area, there's two or three. And I think the way they would fall away from the campground. But you just never know on how the folks are going to cutting the timber are going to work on that. But anyway, that's what's been going on here. Nothing else. Back in the studio today, working the office, working for doing Blueberry Podcasting, of course, and staying busy. And that really is, today was a series of meetings, making some plans, getting some stuff laid out. Wasn't too bad of a Monday in all things considered, but for some reason, I feel like it got hit by a Mack truck. I really don't know why. Today, just kind of a little bit sore, but it's a Red Bull night. So if anyone else is firing up a Red Bull tonight, please join me. I know they're not a sponsor here, but that's what's going on. So let's go ahead and get into the show content. I got a great stack of stuff to talk about tonight. And the first one is, and I guess The Verge is doing a look nationwide of America's broadband problem. And for those of you that are listening and not watching the show, whether you're getting it via podcast or watching live, this map is really, really interesting. So what they have is they have a county-by-county look at broadband utilization across the United States. So when you look at the Eastern Seaboard, except for a few counties in Maine and a couple of other counties in different states, there are hardly any. You got heavy adoption. So let's go over and look at like New York and all that. You know, you're in the higher 60s in New Hampshire. Let me scroll down a little bit further. You know, lots of adoption of broadband into Maryland, over into Pennsylvania, you know, looking at New York State. And, you know, they've got 50, 60, some as high as 70%. But then let's move to my state and the county that I live in. My county has 39% of people that are using broadband speed. And what they're qualifying that is 25 down. That's what they're qualifying is the percent of people that have broadband above 25 megs down, only 39%. In the county next to me, Hillsdale County has 25%. If I roll up to Jackson County, which includes a pretty big town, city, they're at 38. Calhoun County, which includes Battle Creek, is 33. And if I move over here and look at where Grand Rapids is, let's see here. Did I get that right? I got to come up and over. I think Grand Rapids is in Allegan County, 34%. But it just it shows you the adoption of people that have on broadband is not that high. Everyone is below the average. And then they have counties that are really bad. As an example, Oceana County here in Michigan, 14% are using broadband. If we get up towards the UP, Luce County, 8%, Mackinac County, 13%. And if I even look at Iron County in the UP, 9%. But, you know, you get back over to California and you look at San Diego, 62% adoption. Orange County, 75%. Los Angeles, 65%. Ventura, 69%. Kern County, 34%. If I go over and look at Nevada, let's see here. Nevada is, which county is? Clark County is I think that's the county for Las Vegas, 65%. Nye County, 27%. But you get Northern Nevada, it's down around 6%, 3%. Same thing with Northern California. It's horrible. Glen County in California, 12%. Go up to the Seattle area. It's always the fringe counties. It's the counties that are rural. Rural America. And then we get into the middle America here. And, you know, looking at Colorado, you know, they have pretty good adoption throughout Colorado. And, but then you get down into Texas, and there's again large swaths of Texas that have No broadband. I mean, Texas looks like checkerboard. Oklahoma, same thing. It looks like a checkerboard of no broadband. And then we get down in, let's see, Louisiana. Let's look at that. Not bad. Let's see here. That's, this is Georgia. This is Mississippi. So Mississippi's not great either. So, you know, it really shows. And we look at Alaska, 1%. So it just shows you that broadband is really, truly still a big, big problem right now. And for those of you that are listening to the show, you definitely want to look at this map and get an idea how many people have in these counties broadband speed over 25 megs. It's shocking. It's truly shocking. So it shows you, you know, and Elon Musk and SpaceX put up another 60 satellites over the weekend. Man, they're cranking them out. It's like every show I can report. And, you know, it's almost got to the point where I don't even bother to watch the replay. I just want to make sure nothing blew up. So it is a challenge. And I think what he has found already by selling 500,000 potential subscriptions to Starlink is there's a bunch of people that need broadband. And if I look at this map, it's not just my area, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, Tennessee, Kentucky, Tennessee. I'm looking at these states are just full of hardly any broadband adoption. So he's got a huge opportunity here to bring broadband. And you want to see where your taxpayer dollars have been spent. Remember, these broadband providers have been given billions of dollars over the year to fix the broadband gap. And they've done little to do that. And COVID and everything else has exasperated what's going on. And but they got this data from Microsoft. They made this map from Microsoft and data that they have incrementally made available. And that is pretty remarkable. So, you know, Liz in the chat says, Brad says, I have 200 down and 5 up. That, you know, that's a dream for me out where I live. And when it was raining all day Sunday, and sometimes pretty hard, my broadband just, my thing would buffer. Then it would play for 5-10 minutes, buffer. It sucks. I did a speed test. I was getting like 6.5 down, 0.5 meg up. Forget getting any work done when you're on that type of a connection. So I just absolutely cannot wait until Starlink is available for me, because it opens up a whole set of options here. What it could mean is that I may not need this studio space anymore. I might be able to move the studio to my rural living location and save money. You know, it would immediately be a huge savings, because I could recreate this set very, very easily. It may be a little bit acoustically challenged, but I could remake this set in the loft. No sweat, no problem. I got enough room to do that. And, there will be challenges just like anything else, but why not, right? And I've even seen those like little 10x20 sheds that you can buy that you can set. I thought maybe that would be a great studio location. If I can get consistent broadband from Starlink, you know, I don't need this commercial space. I love it. It's great to be able to go to work in it. It's really quite a dream, to be honest with you. And, but it's more than I need. So I use the green room a little bit. I use the demo room a little bit, but that could be duplicated as well in the new location. May not be as fancy, But, and there'll be challenges in getting lights up and that kind of stuff. But what else? You know, it's like anything else I've ever done. So let's get this thing, let's get this Starlink stuff going here, Elon. I can't wait. Summer's coming. It's May. I want my notification. I really do. It's going to be a big deal. Brad says, I can't imagine what you're going through, Todd. My wife has to work from home and needs that $200 down. Absolutely. You know, I'm here. Don't get me wrong. Here at the studio, I get $400 down and $20 up when everything's working. It's modern broadband here at the studio. No concerns. You know, everything, it's lovely. But what happens is I have to come here. I have to rent a space and everything else. Now, that's the price I paid to move back. So, again, not whining here too much, but I've got an option. Lots of people don't. Kids don't. They have to go to McDonald's or they have to go to Burger King. They have to go somewhere where there's public Wi-Fi. They got to sit outside in the car. The parents got to take them to get connectivity to do schoolwork. So, you know, until you've been on that sucky ass internet connection, you just, it's like going back to the Stone Ages. It really, really is. So, but it's worse than I thought. I saw this map and I saw what they put up, and I'm just, you will be too. I'm pleased. Those of you that listen to the show, find it. It'll be in the show notes, and you look at your state, like, you know, getting Jack, you know, you're in Dallas County. Let me see, hover over the top of it. Is it Dallas County? It's here. There's Live Oak. Oh, I got to get up higher. But some counties, Lampass, Burnett, Llano. Again, there's places in Texas that are in populated areas around Fort Worth. Let's go down here by Austin. Again, I don't know the actual name of the county that Austin is in, because it's definitely not Austin County. But still, even in those counties, very poor broadband adoption. And I go over by Houston, same thing. So it's just not small town Americas. It's all over the country. And we've been led to believe everyone's got great connectivity. Well, that is not the case. Not the case at all. Can you tell I'm kind of passionate about this? All right. So those of you that updated your Apple device, your iOS device, 96% of iOS users in the United States has opted out of app tracking. Now, it's turned on by default. So I actually checked tonight. I didn't realize it was turned on by default. So I didn't want to be a hypocrite and telling all of you to turn to basically opt out of tracking. But when I went and looked at they had already predetermined it on. So essentially 4% have opted into tracking, but because they've had to turn it on since the update, 96% of iOS users have opted out. So this is big. This privacy thing is a big, big change. And the company that analyzed this, called Flurry Analytics, is owned by Verizon Media. And of course, until now, apps have been able to rely on Apple's IDFA to track users for targeting advertising purposes. With this launch, mobile apps now have to ask users who have upgraded to iOS 14.5 for permission. So I want you to be prepared. As apps start updating, they're going to start giving you a pop-up trying to opt you in. And I hope that you'll opt out of tracking. I really hope you will. But 96 by default, only 4% have allowed it, which is actually a pretty high number, in my opinion, in the short time that this update has been available. Google, oh my goodness, this is interesting. Google is going nuclear against Roku by adding YouTube TV to the main YouTube app. It's also securing free streaming devices for customers in case talks with Roku completely fall apart. Google and Roku still haven't been able to reach a deal to renew YouTube TV's presence in the huge streaming platform, but Google's come up with something of a workaround. It's going to let people access YouTube TV directly from the main YouTube app, which is interesting. So YouTube users will start seeing a go to YouTube TV option, the main YouTube app, over the next few days. When they select that, they'll then be switched over to the standard YouTube TV user experience. This option is coming to Roku devices first, where it's currently most needed, but it'll also come to YouTube on other platforms as well. And basically, Google has stuffed YouTube TV into YouTube itself, which should not come as a surprise. Now, this is a solution that seems unlikely to make Roku very happy. Google says it's still working to come to an agreement with Roku to ensure continued access to YouTube TV. But what happens when Roku says, okay, screw you, I'm removing YouTube as well? Google says it's in discussions with other partners to secure free streaming devices in case YouTube TV members face any access issues. So basically giving them a Chrome OS device. On Friday afternoon, Roku responded to Google's latest move by calling the company an unchecked monopolist. Roku also criticized Google's decision to bundle the service together, an example of its predatory business practices. Oh, so this is interesting. Here's Roku's full statement, which suggests the company won't be goaded into removing the main YouTube app. Google's actions are clear conduct of an unchecked monopolist bent on crushing fair competition and harming consumer choice. The bundling announcement by YouTube highlights the kind of predatory business practices used by Google that Congress, attorney generals, and regulatory bodies around the world are investigating. Roku has not asked for one additional dollar in financial value from YouTube TV. We have simply asked Google to stop their anti-competitive behavior of manipulating user search results to their unique financial benefit and to stop demanding access to sensitive data that no other partner on our platform receives. In response, Google's continuous practice of blatantly leveraging its YouTube monopoly to force an independent company into agreement that is both bad for consumers and bad for fair competition. Wow. Google said this certification process exists to ensure a consistent, high-quality YouTube experience across different devices. So you know how to navigate the app and what to expect. We'll continue our conversation on certification in good faith with the goal of advocating for our mutual customers. So, wow. Talk about getting bloody. And it is kind of interesting what YouTube has decided to do. I love the Roku guys. Haven't been in their office in years, to be quite frank. My interaction with them over is usually at CES. I usually get to see them. But, you know, the days of going in and just plopping down at the CEO's office are long gone. You know, in the early days, their office was about as big as the office I have in Columbus. And there was, you know, like 20 people in there. Now it's a monster company. So, all right, this next story is poster beware. Homeland Security warning system combs social media for terrorist threats. Let me read this again. Homeland Security's warning system combs social media for terrorist threats. I think we already knew that social media was being monitored. But the Department of Homeland Security is determined to prevent incidents like the January 6th Capitol riot. It's betting that social media will help it spot signs of trouble. NBC News claims that Homeland Security is launching a warning system that looks for signs of domestic terrorist threats in public social network posts. While it's not clear just what techniques Homeland Security would use, unnamed officials told NBC that they were looking for overall trends based on emerging narratives and grievances rather than tracking down individuals. Right. The system relies on human analysts rather than algorithms. The official said, ideally, authorities could catch brewing plans for violence and thwart would-be perpetrators through investigations and defensive measures. Now, the warning system is not going to thrill free speech advocates, but let's be honest. If you think what you're saying publicly on the internet has not been monitored or scraped or looked at, no matter what you said, you probably are misinformed. The ACLU's ACLU's spokesperson noted that people tend to self-censor when they know the government is watching. And you think the government hasn't been watching? Really? Really? In one hand, I kind of laugh at this, right? Since 9/11, the rules have changed. Americans are not exempt from essentially monitoring. Now, they still can't tap your phone without a warrant. But it all depends on how you're using your phone, right? You're using your phone digitally, leaving a digital trail. So it's pretty difficult to see Homeland Security backing down on this. If nothing else, again, the warning system acknowledgement that terrorism sometimes has a public presence online, even if committed extremists often turn to private conversations. So I think domestic terrorism is a very strong word to use in some cases. But imagine you're going to organize a protest, and this has actually been happening very close to us. In Canada, their people have been arrested for planning a peaceful protest to complain about the government's COVID response. So they're just suggesting a protest and getting arrested. Now, that should scare all of us a lot. You would expect Canada to have been, you know, freedom of speech, right? Well, no. And I just wonder how many people here in the United States are now on some watch list because they're pissed off with the government actions around coronavirus and whatever else is going on in the country. So we all know, all of us that listen to the show, all of you that listen to the show know that what you say publicly is once you put it out there, it's out there, right? It's just like naked pictures. You send somebody a naked picture and you don't know who they are and they're not fully vetted. And guess what? Your naked picture is going to end up somewhere. There was just a big story about a guy that was arrested and actually just got sentenced. He exploited over 300 girls, ages from like 12 to 18. He used social manipulation to get them to send a single picture of themselves, compromised single picture of themselves to him. And then he used that to blackmail over 300 minor children. I don't have the story on it. I heard about it, and it didn't come up in the news feed. But the terror that these women went through is basically, I got one picture. Now you send me more, or I'm going to release this. I'm going to put it up on a public website. And he went so far as putting profiles up, fake profiles, posting them places that, you know, people would go to see adult material, and it was obviously minors. So I don't know how many years this guy got, but he really made an impact negatively through social engineering on 300 young women's lives. And, you know, my opinion, an individual like that probably should get the death penalty. But unfortunately, he'll be in general population for the next 30 years or whatever his sentence was, hopefully longer than that. So please, 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 as I've always said, you all listen to this show. If you have grandchildren or young adults, you need to warn them. It's one thing to send a selfie. It's another thing to send a selfie without clothes on. Because you just never know where that's going to go. Okay, Google and Apple claim their devices deliver a better sleep. Well, a university study found that frequently heralded smartphone claims by both companies is non-existent. According to Computer World, this raises a serious question. Don't they have to prove something works before they shouting it from the highest virtual roof? Doesn't the FTC have anything to say about this? Well, no. It's widely believed that the emitted blue light from phones disrupts melatonin secretion and sleep cycles. To reduce this blue light emission and strain on the eyes, Apple introduced an iOS feature called Night Shift in 2016, a feature that adjusts the screen's colors to warmer hues after sunset. BYU sent a statement. Android soon so followed with a similar option, and now most smartphones have some sort of night mode functions that claims to help users sleep better. Until recently, claims of better sleep due to night shift have been theoretical. The study by BYU challenges the premises made by the phone manufacturers and found that night shift functionality does not actually improve sleep, nor does it help people to get sleep any more quickly. Again, this raises an important question. Doesn't Apple and Google have to have proof that something works before sending the marketeers out to shout it from the highest rooftops? Doesn't the FCC perhaps want to weigh in? Well, the short answer is no and no. So just be aware. It's pretty amazing. It really, really is. How many of you thought that that shift to night mode was giving you a great night's sleep? How many of you stay on TikTok right up to the time of going to sleep? A lot of you. I'm guilty of being on my phone late too. Colonial Pipeline hackers apologize. So have you heard about this gas line shutdown, right? They provide an incredible amount of fuel, jet fuel, all kinds of stuff to the East Coast. But the group behind the ransomware that took down Colonial Pipeline last week has apologized for the social consequences, claiming that its goal is to make money, not cause social problems. Of course, the group is called DarkSide, and the FBI has confirmed that the group's malware was responsible for compromising one of the U.S. largest fuel pipelines. According to Vice, the group's apology was posted to its dark website. It reads, "We are apolitical. We do not participate in geopolitics. Do not need to tie us with a defined government and look for our motives. Huh? Our goal is to make money and not create problems on society. From today, we introduce moderation and check each company that our partners want to encrypt to avoid social consequences in the future." Well, here is the thought process here. The assumption is that DarkSide is not a nation state, but it's just a ransomware group. But they use tools like Git User Default Language ID to perform language checks. If the victim uses any languages like Tajik, Armenian, Georgian, Kazakh, Cyrillic, Turkum, Uzbek, Tartar, Romanian, Russian, Azeri, Uzbek, Arabic, they don't go after those sites. So it's kind of interesting. Yeah, they're not geopolitical, quote unquote. Ha ha ha. Well, sure looks like it. Yes, it does. But they apologize. Promise ransom less controversial targets in the future. So not gas lines, but maybe oil producers. Who knows? the 10 best sites to send free text messages to cell phones. So I don't under, if you have a cell phone, why would you use one of those? SMS text messages are still useful. The Taze texting websites will let you send SMS messages from your computer for free. Even though users are slowly moving away from SMS text message to other forms of text messaging, SMS text messages still have their uses. A couple of sites are Textum, Send SMS Now, Opening Text, Open Texting Online, Text Drop, Send Anonymous SMS. And I hate to say it, but a lot of these sites are used by scammers and trying to make you do things you shouldn't. So anyway, link is up in the show notes on that. MakeUseOf.com has a story about will rollable, yes, rollable up TVs ever take off and become an affordable? You know, they got those TVs that will sink into basically a table. They actually roll up. Well, you and I, unless we're an Elon Musk, will not be able to afford one of these bad boys unless you're willing to really go out there. They cost, and if the, you can buy one of these, you can support this show for a year, okay? If you can buy up one of these LG rollable LED TVRs, yes, TVR for rollable, you can become a $25 a month Podcast Insider supporter very easily because these TVs cost between $90,000 to $160,000, and it only come with a 1-year warranty. We're not going to see that anytime soon. But maybe someone rich in New York that likes their view out of their 25th floor penthouse can afford one of these. But you know, I need to buy a couch. I need to buy a bunch of furniture before I think. Oh, yeah, the couch I'm laying, having my, in the loft is probably 25 years old, still comfortable, but it looks like a 25-year-old couch, not complaining. It's just the way it is. All right. Tesla Model S crash investigation. Driver was likely behind the wheel after all, where there's a caveat. They did see him in the driver's seat as he left his house. But the Model S traveled 550 feet before it crashed. So either he pulled out of the driveway, went down the road a little bit, and then got out of the, who knows what happened. But they didn't go 550 feet. That's not far. So there's a lot of things that are unquestioning. And this vehicle did not have the auto drive feature. They've come back and said this is, they've tried to recreate this. Autopilot was not active because the guy didn't even subscribe to it. So just be aware that they could not duplicate some things by not having a driver in the seat, although Consumer Reports was able to duplicate some things. But 550 feet is not far to go. So we'll keep our ear out on this and see what happens next. A NASA spacecraft spots Mr. Peanut lookalike on the Mars surface. The planter's top hat-wearing peanut mascot seems to be making an appearance in some pits on Mars. And I tell you what, you look hard enough, you can make out anything. Just look at the clouds for 15 minutes. You'll be able to find Mr. Peanuts in the cloud. But it is kind of ironic. It does kind of give a similar appearance of Mr. Peanut in the image. Legs and everything. So, you have to laugh when you see stuff that's on another planet that just mimics cool things on Earth. So I doubt you'll see this on a Mr. Planner's peanut can anytime soon, but it is kind of comical. So for those of you listening, the link will be in the show notes for it. Apple's investing another $45 million in Gorilla Glass maker Corning. This is after already investing $450 million over the past 4 years. It's all about rollable, bendable glass. So, you know, Corning provides glass for a variety of Apple products, including iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. And last year, they collaborated in the iPhone 12's lineup ceramic shield technology, which Apple claims is tougher than any smartphone glass and makes it latest flagships 4 times more resistant. I've seen Corning Glass demos at CES. You've been along with me. If you've been in the show for a while, you've seen those demos as well. Quite impressive, little gimmicky, but at the same time, very, very hard to break some of those Gorilla. But we all dropping phones every day and busting these things. So they still have a ways to go, right? What did I get? Burger King. Saturday, went through the drive-thru. Oh my God, took forever. Was just picking up some hamburgers before we went over to Stephanie's. Stephanie Diane is my daughter's name. And before we went over to her house to work on that flooring issue. And had my brother-in-law with me, and we're talking about the Impossible Burger. I've never had one. I don't desire to eat one, but Impossible Burgers are coming to the U.S. school lunch system. Impossible Foods has secured child nutrition labels for its Impossible Burger products, which means they can now be part of a school nutrition program in the United States to obtain a child nutrition label. The USDA Food and Nutrition Service had to evaluate the plant-based meat product formulation, as well as the company's quality control procedures and manufacturing process. Now it has acquired a CN label for its products. Company is launching a K-12 pilot program this month in partnership with several school districts. And this should not surprise you where they're being tested. The Palo Alto Unified School District in California, the Aberdeen School District in Washington, the Deer Creek Public Schools in Edmond, Oklahoma. I actually surprised at that one. And the Union City Public Schools in Union City, Oklahoma will be the first. Will be using the Impossible Fox meat, raw meat in a variety of dishes for their menu. Those dishes include tacos, Frito pies, and spaghetti with Impossible meat sauce. Okay. Have any of you had any of this Impossible burger? Impossible starting selling its product in 1,700 Kroger affiliated stores, 2,000 Walmart stores, and 1,200 public stores across the United States. So I just don't know what to think about the plant-based hamburger. Give me a good, juicy beef hamburger, medium rare. NASA's Parker Solar Probe, and this is going back a little bit, detected natural radio emissions from Venus. Now, how did it do that? Well, it skimmed the ionosphere. And when it flew 517 miles above the surface in July 2020, the probe's electric and magnetic field detector fields picked up a low-frequency output similar to one scientist noticed when Galileo swung by Jupiter moons. Sooners hadn't expected to brush with the atmosphere, although it wasn't a complete surprise. The findings are another manner. Scientists using Earth-based telescopes suspected Venus's atmosphere was thinning as the sun settled into a solar minimum. But the Parker probe data appears to have confirmed it. That's widely different than the Pioneer Venus orbiter data from 1992 when the sun was near its frantic solar maximum. So, no one's on Venus transmitting on the radio. It's just natural frequency stuff that happens up there where stuff are sparkling away. Well, Elon Musk's Saturday Night Live appearance crashed the price of Dogecoin. And I guess a whole bunch of other people are pissed off for another reason. I haven't quite figured that out. But it did. It crashed 43% after basically, in a joking sort of way, they said it was what was the exact words? He said, it says it's a hustle. But yet, they announced that they're going to do a probe going to the moon that's going to be its first Dogecoin miner next year sometime. So, boy, oh, boy, all kinds of crazy stuff going on there. The United States is cracking down on bulletproof hosting providers that enabled malware attacks. Well, for individuals behind a bulletproof hosting site have pled guilty to U.S. racketeering charges. The service designed to accommodate criminal activity to help clients evade detection was founded by Russians Alexander Grishkin and Andrei Korsakov, the other two parties are Lithuanians who work as admins on the site. But I guess I'm assuming here, four individuals have pled guilty. So do they have them here in the United States? I don't remember about this. Oh, so let me see here. The recent guilty pleas aren't likely to make much of a dent in their activities. As security researchers have noted, most operators are based in Russia or former Soviet republics and are likely to face prosecution as long as they stay there. The four parties named by the DOJ will be sentenced over the next month and face up to 20 years in prison. So I guess I don't understand if these folks are... Why would you plead guilty if you weren't under custody? That's the thing I haven't quite figured out here yet. But anyway, that's the headline. A security researcher successfully jailbroke an Apple AirTag. So how he got a hold of one of these already is still kind of amazing to me. I guess they're already shipping. But this weekend, German security searcher Stack Smashing declared success at breaking into, dumping, and refreshing the microcontroller on Apple's new AirTag. So it's got a picture of it all wired up. Got it chipped up, and he hacked it. But he was able to make it send a modified URL. And so not a big hack, but one that's interesting nonetheless. And what happens when they figure out how to hack this so that they can turn off the follow indicator that warns someone that there's a tracking tag. There's one of these tags tracking along with you. So anyway, more to come on that, I'm sure. Okay. Amazon is announcing they seized and destroyed 2 million counterfeit products in 2020. So that's amazing. Over 2 million counterfeit products that sellers sent to Amazon warehouse in 2020 and blocked more than 10 billion suspected bad listing before they were published in our store. And they destroyed stuff that went to their fulfillment store. In cases where counterfeit products are in full fulfillment centers, we separate the inventory and destroy those products so they're not resold anywhere in the supply chain. Third-party sellers can also ship products directly to consumer instead of using Amazon's shipping system. The 2 million fakes found in Amazon fulfillment centers would only count for counterfeit products from sellers using the fulfilled by Amazon service. So, Amazon's new report was meant to reassure legitimate sellers that their product won't be counterfeited. So, Amazon customers said that fewer than 1% of all products sold on Amazon received a counterfeit complaint in 2020. 0.01. That's still pretty high. And Amazon has invested $700 million and employed more than 10,000 people to protect our store from fraud and abuse. And it's an escalating battle with criminals. Amazon said now reports all confirmed counterfeits to law enforcement agencies in Canada, China, European Union, UK, and US. Amazon also urged governments to increase prosecution of counterfeiters. They're having a stricter seller verification system. And Amazon monitors product detail changes for fraud. So where they were doing bait and switch, where they displayed the real thing but shipped a fake. In one case, a $23 drone with 6,400 reviews received a 5-star average rating only because it had thousands of reviews from honeypots. At the same point, that product list had changed from a food item to a tech product. So, crazy. So they were selling something to store honey in, which got great reviews, and then they switched the product out for a drone that was a piece of crap. So that kind of thing. Great article. Microsoft and Mozilla plan new upgrade tactics for Edge and Firefox. These are for those of you that are the IT guy or IT lady. So for IT managed environments, those of you that do that will be interested in this story and how they're going to change those rollouts. Again, I already mentioned that SpaceX will launch a Dogecoin-funded moon satellite. Link will be up in the show notes on that. You can read about it. Now, the big news really is Apple may switch to its own 5G iPhone modems by 2023. Qualcomm remains its 5G chip supplier until then. This would be a big hit on Qualcomm if Apple switched to its own silicon. But I think that's probably pretty accurate. But they say they're going to rely on Qualcomm for a couple more generations, but they want to be on their own silicon. If you live in New York City, Amazon's Palm Reading payment tech is now available. There's just one store for now, so you're not going to see this all over the place. And you no longer have to shop in Washington State to use Amazon's Palm Reading tech. They've introduced one in New York City, making the biometric authentication available in the Amazon Go store at 11 West 42nd Street. It functions just like it did before. Once you've signed up, you just need to hover your palm above a reader to enter the store and approve your purchase. So at least they're not chipping us, but they are putting our palms on record. 44 state attorney generals have asked Facebook to abandon Instagram for kids. The group argues Facebook's poor track record with kids make this a bad idea, and I would absolutely unequivocally agree. And as a reminder, Facebook is in the early stages of building a version of Instagram for kids under the age of 13. It's all we don't need. Under 13? We're so screwed. We really are. NASA and Axiom Space has announced the first private International Space Station mission could happen as soon as January. Four astronauts will make a trip aboard a SpaceX Crew Dragon module and spend 8 days on the International Space Station and in return transport home product or experiment samples. So space tourism is looking to ramp up in the coming months. So I hope they're paying a big price to go up the International Space Station and use resources and maybe support the space mission, I guess. So I'd be curious to see how much this cost. There'll be one retired NASA astronaut and three businessmen that are going to make the trip. So we'll keep our eye on this, but they're contracted with SpaceX for a Crew Dragon capsule. Facebook is testing a test going on that encourages people to read articles before sharing. So this new interface feature will prompt people to at least open a link before they share it with their network. The company says it's trying out the message to see if it prompts more informed sharing. They say you're about to share this article without opening it. The prompt says sharing articles without reading them may mean missing key facts, and then offers users two options. You can either open the article or repost it as normal. So if you want to reshare a Geek News Central podcast link, it's going to prompt you to come to the website to make sure it's legit in the first place. It's kind of interesting. Do you think that'll scare people from posting and it just allows them to dictate the message more? Or is it going to do it for every time you share an article, or is it only select people? Sony is expecting PS5 supply issue to continue to next year. Demand appears to be higher than it was for the PS4. And according to comments from CFO in its recent earnings report, it's difficult for Sony to keep up with demand for the PS5. And that situation is likely to continue into 2022. They say, I don't think demand is calming down this year. And even if we secure a lot more devices and produce many more units, PS5, our supply wouldn't be able to catch up with demand. We've sold more than 100 million units of PS4, and considering our market share and reputation, I can't imagine demand dropping easily. Sony is aiming to produce at least 14.8 million PS5 consoles in the financial year beginning April 21, having sold 7.8 million through March 31st. So if you've been looking to get a PS5, demand will continue to be high. For those of you that listen to the show in the UK, here's one for you. Martin Lewis and Sir Richard Branson names are the most used by scammers. the National Cyber Security Center removed more than 730,000 websites running the tricks in 2020. And they've been using face endorsement scans to basically get people to buy all kinds of stuff. Criminals create fake news articles claiming celebrities are backing new investment schemes. The articles spread through mass email campaigns, SMS texts, or adverts. They come with a link to a website which encourages victims to invest in unscrupulous programs. Although the themes of attack is often cryptocurrency, the temple can be used to promote any type of fake investment opportunity. So I guess this guy Martin Lewis is some big, truly financial whiz, and they've been using his name in vain. Of course, we all know who Sir Richard Branson is. So these can be very, very, very convincing. Finally tonight, got a dream job for some of you, and it's truly a dream job. You get paid $50 to nap. $50 to nap. Every time you nap, you get paid $50 for 30 days. $1,500 to nap 30 minutes every day, and then you write about your experience. Five people will get this job. So it's not like it's going to be easy to get it, but wow, you pay me to sleep? Sign me up. That sounds like the perfect, perfect, perfect thing to do. All right, this is going to bring us to the end of the show. I hope you had a good time with me today. Again, if you love the show, geeknewscenter.com/insider. Become an insider. Support the podcast. It is greatly appreciated when you do so. Becoming an insider. Yes, the insider podcast is still coming. I know I'm a broken record. Thank you for being patient. And thank you for those of you who have become insiders. But again, the insider donation does a lot to help the show continue, just as supporting a sponsor does. But I definitely encourage you to go to geeknewscentral.com/insider and fire that $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 donation up. If each of you did $2, if each of you did $2, we could buy this building. Now, my sister owns the building, so she may not sell it to me, but we might be able to buy another building. But anyway, I want to thank you all for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. We'll see you on Thursday with another edition of the Geekness Center podcast. It's been my pleasure to bring it to you. Again, the email address to send a comment is geeknews@gmail.com. Stay safe. Take care of your family members. Watch out for your pets. Be safe out there. We'll see you on Thursday. Everyone take care. Bye-bye.